and welcome back to another episode of the Small Talk Podcast. My name is Katie Fairman, and it's happened again. I don't know how I can get myself more consistent with episodes, guys. I'm like buses, as we say in the UK. You wait for ages for a bus, and then two come along at the same time. And that's literally what happened with my podcast. I spent ages not doing a podcast, did two in the space of a week, and then there's been another long gap. So sorry for that, but I do have plans to make them more consistent, which I will go into a little bit later. But for now, firstly, hi, how are you doing? I hope you're well. I'm currently recording this in my new flat, which is super exciting. I'm in my bedroom, which is not where podcasts are going to be recorded in the future, but it's about the only space that I have that looks somewhat lived in at the moment. And I'm actually recording it on my phone. So there's going to be video evidence, if you like, of this episode, which is something that I've been meaning to do for a while. Lots of people, you know, upload reels, all that kind of stuff. And so I feel like it's time that I finally get on board that. I mean, this might be the only episode that's ever recorded in video form, but we're going to give it a try and see what happens. But for now, grab yourself a cup of tea and let's dive into this week's episode.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So, I have a new flat, which is super exciting. It's come about very quickly. Like, where I used to live, I'm still in the same sort of area, so I've not had to travel miles away. I'm not in the middle of nowhere. But where I was before, although I loved it, and I moved in there in 2019, so just before the pandemic, and it was just the right size for like a first apartment. I didn't ever expect to be working from home as much as I did, as most people will be able to relate to. But just the 3.5 years that I spent there, they were great, but it was time to move on to something bigger. You know, I really am excited because this place has got an office, so I can have a permanent location for recording the podcast, for working, streaming, all of that kind of stuff, which I'm super psyched about. Because where I was before, like if you watched the podcast that I used to do when I was at WTF1, for example, I had a background of my living room, which was fine and, you know, led to many iconic moments with those yellow orange cushions being in the background. And it was like a nice consistent setup that I had, which is not going to be a thing anymore because there's not going to be the yellow cushions. I'm afraid that era, RIP, it's gone, it's done. The new office is coming along slowly. The plan is to have a little corner for small talk. So there's going to be a sofa there and I'm going to have like my permanent podcast set up with like this microphone, for example. Although I enjoy having it handheld, I kind of want to have the option to have it on an arm so I'm not just like constantly holding this mic and giving myself an arm ache by the end of the episode, and just having it nice and cozy and consistent. Because I went to this event with Spotify a few weeks ago now, and so many podcasters that I looked up to and met and stuff like that, they all said that they normally have like a permanent base that maybe they'll go to every Tuesday afternoon and they'll record their podcast episode, and that, yeah, routine, that consistency has really helped them with getting episodes out. And at the moment, consistency is a thing that I definitely don't have and I would like to have more of. So by hopefully having a little section for small talk in the office, that's going to help. But just generally, like, I'm really enjoying shopping for stuff for the office. This week, actually, I went to HomeSense, which is a bit like, well, it's a sister brand of TK Maxx, which is like TJ Maxx if you're in America. Just a little hint for you guys, if you want F1 or motorsport inspired prints especially, like, have a look in your local HomeSense, because more often than not, I've found something, whether that's old retro photographs of James Hunt or Ronnie Peterson or somebody like that, or just prints in generally, which is what I found this weekend, I picked up a Le Mans print, which I thought was very appropriate as it is Le Mans this weekend. In fact, it's going to start in just over an hour, so I've got to make sure I've wrapped this podcast up before then. Yeah, it's a Le Mans print. It's from Jaguar's 1988 win, which is a really cool silk cut, like livery, and I love the print. It's also got a real personal touch to it and a special touch because one of the drivers that won the race that year was Johnny Dumfries, and he is somebody that I have a connection with within my family. I'm not related to him or anything like that. It's my dad's wife used to work for him. And so that's like a really nice touch because unfortunately he passed away a few years ago. And it's just like a little nod to Johnny in the office, which I really like. I never actually got the chance to meet him, which is a shame because he seemed like such a fun and colourful character. But I did get like a birthday card from him 1 year, which was like a really special touch. So that's like a really nice addition to my office, and I'm so glad that I have that. And I also picked up another print, which is to do with the 1956 Monaco Grand Prix, and 1956 being another year or another thing that's like links with that. So yeah, my mum was born, which she's going to hate me for telling everybody on the internet the year that my mum was born, but I'm sorry, mum. I know you listen to the podcast, so please forgive me. The year was special, and also just something about the Monaco Grand Prix I love. Like, I have so much Monaco-based things in my house, and like, even I haven't got my keys with me. Hold on. But even my keys have got like a little Monaco. Can you even read that? Was this even worth it? It says Monaco Yacht Club on my keys. I also have a little Pirelli key ring if you wanted to see that. But yeah, this is my key. So I've got a link to Monaco there. I've got another amazing print to do with Monaco, the street circuit, which one of my friends gave me for my birthday last year. So I'm slowly collecting all of this Monaco stuff. But anyway, beside the point, the print is from the 1956 Monaco Grand Prix, won by Stirling Moss in a Maserati. And it's just a really lovely print. So if you're watching this, if I put this on Reels, I'll upload the photos of the prints, or I might even do like a, just as a motorbike goes past, thanks guys, I might even put something out on my stories or whatever for you to see it. But that's where I am at the moment. Let's get on to some motorsport related chatter. So as I mentioned earlier, it is Le Mans this weekend. 100th edition of Le Mans. I think it's a Centurion event, which is a huge deal. It's starting in just over an hour, and I'm going to be watching as much as I can of it. I think one of the problems is why I can't really find myself getting into endurance racing. It's because I simply don't have the attention span for it. And most of the racing that I ingest at the moment are things like Formula E, and those races normally last between like 45 minutes to an hour. Same with Formula One. A typical Formula One race is about 90 minutes. So that's a short period of time where your attention is just focused on the one thing, which is the racing. And there's obviously lots of strategy going on, hopefully overtakes, and my brain can just about focus in for that amount of time. However, with endurance racing, especially for something like Le Mans, which is 24 hours, I know that that's not typical of like every single endurance race. You can get 6-hour endurance races, you can get 12-hour endurance races. But 24 hours is a long time. And I'm pretty sure, don't get me wrong, there's going to be hardcore fans that are watching all of those 24 hours. And if that is you, then I salute you. Like, amazing, amazing effort, amazing job. But for me, my attention span just can't hold on for that long. How I'm going to approach Le Mans this weekend is I'm going to try and have it on in the background as much as I can, watch as much as I can, understand as much as I can. But I'm not going to pretend that I'm like there, engrossed in it fully. Like, I'd love to attend an endurance race and actually be part of that atmosphere. I feel like sitting in the grandstands with a group of your friends could be really fun. The camping side of it, I'm definitely up for that. Like, I grew up as a child camping all the time in the New Forest with my parents. So, you know, I am not shy of doing a little bit of camping, but just in terms of the racing, I just really struggle with it, which I think is fair. And I think is a criticism, not a criticism, sorry, is a point that a lot of fans have when it's time to get into endurance racing. Since I last spoke to you, Formula E, also raced in Jakarta. Now, I wasn't on the ground for Jakarta because I heard it was going to be hella hot, hella humid. So I did that from home. In fact, I did it the weekend that I moved, which proved to be interesting. I didn't know what sleep was for about 48 hours because I was on an Indonesian time. So I was getting up at like 7 in the morning to help move boxes, get things in back of vans, etc., etc. And then those were long, long days. I would go to sleep at about 11 o'clock and then have to wake up at 2 for free practice sessions, and then back up again at 4 for qualifying, and then back up again at like 8 o'clock for the race, and then just stay awake until 11 and repeat the cycle for a couple of nights. Yeah, that was fun. That was an interesting 48 hours, but a great weekend nonetheless in Formula E. And one person that we have to talk about is Maximilian Günther. Now, he is he still seems like just a baby in Formula E, but that's not the case. He's got like 62 races, I think it probably is now, under his belt in Formula E. He was doing stuff with Andretti and BMW. He's now with Maserati. He is a well-established personality in that paddock, and also just the loveliest guy. Like, whenever I speak to him, he's so soft and gentle and just a generally lovely chap. So anyway, he had the best weekend in Jakarta. Any single timed session, so that was free practice 1, free practice 2, and free practice 3, as well as the group stages in qualifying, and then each stage after that, he was the top. He got his first Formula E pole position on the Saturday, and then did exactly the same on the Sunday. It's a bit like this podcast. You wait so long for one episode, and then two came along in the space of a week, but two came along in the space of 2 days for Maximilian Günther in Jakarta. So Maserati had an absolute like great time there. Fair play to Max Günther, because not only is that a race win for him, which he'd not had one in quite a long time, but also meant that it was a race win for Maserati in Formula E. They came into Formula E this season, so season 9, as part of the new Gen 3 era, which also came into effect earlier this year. And they took over the existing Venturi brand, but it's still a huge name, Maserati coming into Formula E. It was a big deal. And as a result, like, Maserati haven't been in single seaters on like this kind of level, like a world championship level, for a very, very long time. In fact, I think I'm right in saying that the last win that they got in like a world championship single seaters event was Fangio in 1957, up until Max did it the weekend just gone in Jakarta. So making history over there with Maserati as Maximilian Günther. Lots of other amazing stories too, but Max G, he stole those headlines. Every single practice report I did, I was like, guess who's on top again? It's Maximilian Günther. Very well deserved. It's all going on in Formula E. I've had a lot of people ask for specific Formula E based episodes, so I'd love to do a sort of Formula E explainer, and I'm going to try and get that out before Portland, which is the next race. That's coming in a few weeks, and I'll actually be in Portland, which will be super exciting. I can't wait to get back to the US. But yeah, just basically do like a fun explainer as to what the cars are like, who the drivers are, the teams are, all that sort of stuff. So I will try and record that and get that out before Portland in a couple of weeks. But yes, we've also got a doubleheader in Rome coming up in July, which is also going to be so, so hot. But I'm going to also be doing a bit of a solo trip in Italy after the Romy Pre, which I'm so excited about. I always used to see things on Instagram of like trips to Italy, and it looks so romantic and stunning. And I thought, you know what? I want some of that. I haven't got anyone to go with. I'm going on my own, so it's not very romantic. But I thought, yeah, I'm going to go for a little solo trip around Italy. I'm very much looking forward to that. But anyway, that is not relevant to this episode. And then the season finishes in London with a doubleheader. Back to the motorsport stuff, Katie. Come on. Other points that I have noted for this episode. We have Monaco GP. All I have put next to this is Esty Bestie, because he managed to get himself onto the podium, which was a fantastic result. I'm obviously stoked. I love Esteban. I think he's wonderful. I'm so happy to see him get some more silverware, because I feel like he deserves it. He's been putting in some stunning performances over the last few seasons, and I'm glad that it's finally been rewarded, especially in Monaco. Like, that's such a prestigious event, so to get on the podium there is wicked. We've actually seen a couple of like random podium finishes. I remember Lando finished on the podium there when they had the golf livery, so that must have been in 2021. But awesome to see Esteban up there. And yes, he said Esty Bestie is on the podium, baby, which Lots of people said it's cringe. I think, mate, if you can't let a driver have a little saying, like 5 seconds of fun, let the man live a little, okay? You know, he's just finished on the podium in Monaco. If he can't say funny sayings like that, then when can he? But I got so many people tag me saying, oh my God, Katie, he said Estee Bestie, which is very cute. And I'm so glad that that saying is being used more. But one thing I feel like I have to say and set the record straight is I did not come up with Estee Bestie. Like, this is not a trademark Kate Fairman production name. And I couldn't remember where I got it from. I think I remember seeing it on TikTok and I used it on the WTF1 podcast a lot because I just enjoyed the nickname. But I found out who did come up with the nickname, and that is somebody called She Loves Formula One, who I believe is on TikTok, but I definitely follow on Instagram. And she's rightfully getting the credit that she deserves because people are tagging her telling Esteban that that's where it came from. So I must have seen one of her brilliant TikToks and gone, Estee Bestie, that is a thing, that's becoming a thing. And I'm glad to see that he has fully adopted it. I love it. So well done to Esteban on that podium in Monaco. Speaking of Formula One, I have been able to do a couple more interviews, one of which I did on the day of my move, which was quite interesting and quite stressful, especially as I had packed my laptop in like a rucksack, which had all of my important stuff in it, and I put it on the floor and I turned my back and then the removal team had packed it into the van. We were trying to unpack it and I could see my bag and was like, I need my laptop for a call at 2:30. And I think the removal people thought I was a bit mad. They're like, why are you doing an interview on the day that you're moving? And I was like, don't worry, just leave me to it. I did an interview with James Fowles. I found a quiet little corner of the flat to do it in. And I mean, I feel like everybody I'm speaking about on this podcast, I say is the loveliest man. They can't all be the loveliest man, but James Fowles, what an absolute babe. Like, he was so lovely, and not only were the answers that he gave so articulated and authentic, but he just took so much time explaining certain things and made me feel so comfortable and at ease, and instantly, like, there was a great vibe going on. And he is such an interesting character. Obviously, he's now team principal at Williams, which is a role that only three people have technically had that position since Williams was founded all those years ago, being Frank Williams, Jos Capito, and now James. But he has such an interesting background. We were talking about the fact that he used to work at Braun, which is obviously the team that Keanu Reeves is now making a documentary about. And we spoke about his friendship with Keanu that he had going on and what Braun was like, and that's going to be such an interesting documentary. As a side note, I cannot wait to watch that. But also, we spoke about his days at Mercedes. Obviously, lots of people know him for his Valtteri, It's James radio messages. But we spoke about Mercedes. We spoke about why he wanted to become a team principal in Formula One. Like, was there a specific moment that changed his outlook from what he was doing at Mercedes, where I believe he was a strategy director or something like that? Yeah, so cool. We spoke about the fact that he does a bit of racing on the side, which he actually took part in Asian Le Mans a few years ago with Manuel Maldonado, which is Pastor Maldonado's cousin. So, you know, the guy likes to race, which is awesome. And he spoke about how that actually helps him a lot with the drivers, because he is a somewhat racing driver himself, obviously not on the scale of a Formula One driver, but by understanding what the drivers mean when they say X or they say Y is a really useful addition and skill to have. We spoke about Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which was a great end to the conversation. We were basically chatting through things that he does when he's traveling, so binging Netflix and what he likes on Netflix. But no, he was super, super lovely. That was for Sports Illustrated. You can read the article, it's live now. I think it's actually probably one of my favourite interviews I've ever done. So I'm really proud of that one. But yeah, James Fowles, what a gent. Sorry, I've had to have a position change because I was sitting cross-legged recording the podcast and I've given myself such bad pins and needles. Oof. Talking of TV shows, Formula One, apparently there's going to be a new TV show based on Formula One that's going to be scripted. So it's not going to be like a docu-series like Drive to Survive. It's going to be like a TV show. In fact, let me read you the little, what's it called? Synopsis? I feel like that's the right word. So it says, the thing is going to be called One, by the way, just the number one. So it says one will focus on the, oh, I hate this word, tumultuous ascension of a fictitious family-owned Formula One team as it contends with fierce personalities, ever-changing rivals, and multi-million dollar stakes. It will blend with the real world of F1, which has 23 races scheduled for the 2023 season. Does it though, hun? Because I feel like it's 22 now with Imola being cancelled. But that's on Deadline, the website Deadline, and that was on June the 8th that was reported. Apparently, Felicity Jones is set to star in and produce the drama, which could be interesting. I don't know. She's got a little bit of a Claire Williams vibe about her, actually, looking at this photo. That is apparently a new TV show that's coming to somewhere, sometime. Who knows? Everybody's just jumping on the Formula One bandwagon at the moment because it's proved so popular and there's clearly so much money in Formula One. There's not really much else to fill in. I mean, one thing I will say is that there's becoming an ever-increasing merge of Formula One-related stuff and Star Wars actors because we have Felicity Jones, who is in Rogue One. I believe that's correct. Please don't come for me, Star Wars fans, if that is not right. I only watched it once. But Felicity Jones and now this F1 project. We also have Adam Driver, who is going to be playing Enzo Ferrari in a movie all about Enzo Ferrari, funnily enough. So there's a little crossover there. He was also at the Indy 500 and he was the flag waver, which he did a brilliant job at. Maybe it's all that lightsaber training came into effect. We've also got John Boyega. I feel like he was definitely in, hold on, this is, I should have definitely Googled this before I started recording. John Boyega F1 movie. I'm sure it was something to do with a getaway car that he was part of. Yes, so Robert De Niro and John Boyega to star in Netflix F1 film The Formula. So it says, this was from Autosport in 2021, a fictional crime film set in the world of Formula One that features Hollywood legend Robert De Niro and Star Wars actor John Boyega will be shown on Netflix. I don't know at what stage of the production this movie is in, because this was over 2 years ago, but do you see where I'm coming from? There's like a lot of Star Wars F1 links that are coming into effect. All I need now is Daisy Ridley and something and I will be happy. Lots of little crossovers going on here. If you can think of any other Star Wars meets F1 crossovers, we had the Red Bull with the Star Wars livery for the Monaco Grand Prix. 2005. Oh, that was a long time ago. But I'm thinking more actors being in racing films that are from the Star Wars thing. I mean, there must be a film somewhere to do with racing that has Ewan McGregor in it, because I know he loves his bikes, but there has to be something there. I could just IMDb this, but I want to hear from you guys. I want to know who you can think of. And also, must be something with Harrison Ford. I can just imagine him being like a grumpy driving instructor and he's got to teach somebody how to drive. I feel like that there has to be a film in there somewhere. If not, let's make it a Small Talk movie production and get Harrison Ford on board. That was a rather unusual blend of Star Wars meets Formula One. But yeah, we'll see what happens with that TV show. Could well come out in several years' time when maybe the hype around Formula One has died down a little bit. Also, have to mention on here, last time I asked for your submissions for who you'd like to see do an F1 theme song, because apparently will.i.am is going to be releasing several more F1 inspired songs, so sorry to your ears, but we had a couple of people reply back. Tom said that Metallica regularly do a great national anthem for the San Francisco Giants. Pretty sure they could extend to F1 too. There are definitely going to be people listening who I know love Metallica. That would definitely be up for that. Corey also emailed in and said, actually, some people I'd never heard of before. Buju, Banton, Akala, or Kendrick Lamar could have a go at some F1 inspired records, which I'll be honest, I don't know who the first two are, but maybe I'll check them out after this episode. Thank you for your submissions. And talking of submissions, there is going to be a new section on this podcast, which is hopefully going to inspire me to record weekly episodes. And that is because this section is called Question of the Week. You see the theme that I'm going for here. Okay, so for the first time, let's try Question of the Week. Now, like I said, this is a new addition to the podcast. It's going to be posted on my socials every Monday, so keep an eye on there for the Question of the Week. This week's question was, what is one thing that every fan should bring to a Grand Prix? Now, I thought this could be a useful little section because for some people, might be their first race. So why not get some help from the Formula One community in sharing what they should bring to a race? Now, lots of different answers, some of which were more serious than others. I can't remember who it was, but somebody said that they bring a framed photo or something of Michael Bublé to a Grand Prix, which, you know, could be a good addition for Canada that's coming up. But generally, people gave some good, serious answers. So I'm going to shout you out now. And if you are attending a Grand Prix for the first time, make a list of these things because it could well make your weekend much easier. Okay, on Instagram, Nicola Jane, Alice Fellows, Lucy, in fact, there were lots of you that said sunscreen, which I can definitely get behind. Formation Chat said a portable charger, if they are allowed. And they also suggested that you hide it in your bra, which obviously some people listening won't be able to do that because you won't be wearing a bra. Fair enough. Mon Kleiner said a picnic blanket or something to sit on. I think a lot of people said camping chairs, etc. CG Eustace says a jar of Nutella in case there's a chance encounter with Nicholas Latifi, which I love. And also, I have to be honest here. So this is my friend Charlie that has left this comment. Charlie is the one that came up with the name Smalltalk, guys. I am a fraud. But Charlie is the one that came up with the brilliant pun that is Smalltalk when I first launched this podcast back in 2019. Thank you, Charlie. I feel like I should give you more of a shout out than just saying that you made the name, because without the name, this podcast wouldn't be where it is now. So thank you very much. And I appreciate your candid answer of a jar of Nutella. John Granagram said patience. Getting into the circuit takes time and it can be fairly packed. That is a good answer. Luke Motorsport said a ticket. Thank you, Luke. Luke is one of my friends as well. And just stating the obvious, you know, it's fair enough. Sarah Darnley said, hay fever tablets get me every time at Silverstone. So yeah, that could be an interesting one to pack. Jeffpack_44 said, shoes that you can walk in for a long distance. So they were some of the ones I picked up from Instagram. And on Twitter, Rich Walker said, a lot of money, which I get, especially if you want to buy merchandise there, or even just food and drink can be pricey sometimes. So taking some cash with you, or obviously just like a card, because many people carry cash anymore. I don't know why I said cash, but have some money in case. Rannikin said, a Sharpie. You never know how lucky you'll get. That's true. You might meet a driver and you want something signed and you can't because you haven't got a Sharpie on you. So maybe tucking one of those away. Doug Bowl said a refillable water bottle and hearing protection. And then also went on to say that there was a kid who sold earplugs near one of the grandstands he was at £5 a pop and probably made an absolute killing. So there we go. A little side hustle for that five-year-old. Love that from him. But yeah, hearing protection. I'm definitely one of those that's guilty of not wearing it. But those cars, especially the support series cars, can be pretty loud. So maybe taking some just as a precaution. Dell5675 said binoculars, especially if you're sat opposite where the pits are and the garages and stuff, have a little sneaky spy in there, which is an interesting one. Oliver Thield said a rain jacket, as did Rowan Perring. And then Sean said, currently, an interesting book. Okay, I think I'm going to end the episode here because Le Mans is going to be starting very shortly and I want to watch the beginning of that. But also, I've talked about so much random stuff in this episode that I feel like if I talked about any more, it would all kind of get a bit lost within each other. So I'm going to love you and leave you. Thank you so much for your patience as ever with these podcast episodes. I'm hoping that with things like Question of the Week and also getting a permanent base sorted for my podcast will really help with that consistency and the regular uploads. That's definitely a goal for Smalltalk, is to become more than just a once a month podcast, because I enjoy recording them and I hope that you guys enjoy listening to them. But for now, have a wonderful weekend wherever you are. If you're watching Le Mans, I hope you enjoy it. I hope your faves get up there on the podium. And if you're just having a chill one with no F1, also enjoy. It's stunning weather here in the UK, which means very little to me because I will be spending it entirely inside watching race cars, but you get my gist. I will, as ever, leave links in the description if you want to find myself or the Smalltalk podcast on social media. But anyway, I'm going to stop waffling and say goodbye and catch you in the next episode. Ta-ra! Oh God, that's very George Russell of me. Goodbye!